I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse will be back on Monday. I have my special guest, the second segment with Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics. You're going to find out some things about Gary that you've never knew about, how he started, and I'm going to learn some things about Gary. So, but before we do that, I always like to have some soul food on the Terry and Jesse Show, which is the reading of the gospel for the daily mass. And folks, put your seatbelt on because I'm going to give you a commentary that I got from In Conversation with God, which is an Opus Dei commentary on the daily readings. And it's going to knock you off because it's the general judgment. I mean, whoa, it's powerful. Let's open up our Bibles for some soul food. Matthew chapter 13, 36 to 43. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus dismissed the crowds and went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the fields." He said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil." I just make a little comment about the devil. Some people don't want to talk about the devil. The Bible talks about it. We have to deal with him. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will be thrown, will throw them into a fiery furnace where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Now, I have to give you quite a long commentary, but man, put your seatbelt on. It's about the universal judgment. You know, Jesus is our friend. Well, we just read, here's the commentary, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Can I ask you to think about that? Picture that, one end of heaven to the other. All men since Adam will be there. Man, this is a meditation. I hope you're not driving. Think about this. And now there will be all understanding with complete clarity. You know, we talk on clarity and charity here. Yeah, complete clarity. The value of mom, your self-denial, of all of us, our sacrifices, our surrender to God and to other people. At Christ's second coming, the honor and glory of the saints will be publicly be known to all. For of these, many died unknown, despised, misunderstood, and now they will be glorified in the sight of all. Check this out. Put your seatbelt on when I say this. The spreaders of heresy will receive their punishment that they accumulated throughout the centuries. Oh man, I'm thinking about this. As their errors were passed from one person to another, and were an obstacle that prevented many from finding salvation. Likewise, those who gave the faith to other souls and inflamed others with the love of God will receive the reward for the fruits that their prayers and their sacrifices produced down the ages. They will see the results that good each one of their prayers, their sacrifices, their prayer vigils, like the ones we pray on Thursday nights at our chapel every Thursday at 7 to 9 before our Eucharistic King. This is what the church needs right now, our prayers. We will see the true value of men considered as wise, but in fact, teachers of error. I see that right now in our church. I'll just be honest with you. Father Martin, he's supposed to be this wise Jesuit, and he's teaching contrary teachings of the church. But in fact, they're teachers of error, whom many generations surrounded them with praise and esteem. That's why I like it when people persecute me and they don't praise me. I don't want praise because I get scared of that when people say you're a good guy. No, God is good. We will see the value of others who regulated to oblivion when they should have been highly esteemed and heaped with honors. It is then that these forgotten men and women will receive the reward for their work, which the world denied them. So don't worry about the world, the devil, and the flesh, in the sense that they're going to come down on you, okay? Because the judgment of the world will serve for God's glorification. I'll repeat that. The judgment of the world will serve for God's glorification. Then will be revealed his wisdom in his government of the world, his goodness, his patience with sinners, and above all, his reputative justice. The glorification of God, man, Jesus Christ, will culminate in the exercise of his judicial power over the entire universe. Remember Christ the King we celebrate at the end of November? The particular judgment of individuals will not be revised or amended in the universal judgment. So when you're judged and you get your exit interview at the time of your death, the general judgment will be the same judgment you got when you died, but it will be confirmed and made known publicly. In the universal judgment, each man will be judged in the sight of the whole human race and as a member of society. Wow! Then the reward and punishment will complement each other as they extended to the body after its resurrection. Now, I'm going to make an encouragement word here. Prepare for our judgment. How? By examination of conscience and the practice of frequent confession. Because before our Lord's second coming in glory, each one's particular judgment will take place immediately after death. That's the church teaching. It is in regard to death that man's condition is most shrouded in doubt. Man is tormented not only by the pain and by the gradual breaking up of his body, but also, and even more, by the dread of forever ceasing to be. But a deep instinct leads him rightly to shrink from and to reject the utter ruin and the total loss of his personality. His soul lives on because he bears in himself the seed of eternity, which cannot be reduced to mere matter. He rebels against death. Revelation teaches us that death is really just a step, a passage to eternal life. Between life here on earth and eternal life, the particular judgment of each one will take place. This will be carried out, are you ready, folks? By Jesus Christ himself. Oh my gosh. Yeah. When each one will be judged according to his works, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive good or evil according to what he has done in the body. This should really prepare us to meet Jesus, this meditation. Nothing will fail to be presented to the divine tribunal. Our thoughts, our desires, words, actions, and I might add, omissions. What we forgot to do. Each human act will then acquire its true dimension, the dimension that it has before God, not that which it has before men. There will appeal all our thoughts, imaginings, desires, and all those eternal weaknesses that perhaps it is difficult for us to recognize now. Jesus Christ will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purpose of the heart. Now, these words, too, they will have sometimes used to prop up our own excellence, others the instrument of lies, sometimes a lack of understanding, charity, or justice. And our deeds, we will be judged too by our deeds. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. Christ will look at our lives, examining how we have behaved towards him or towards our fellow men and brothers. Why do I say this? Because this is what it's all about. If you want to get more, I'm going to stop here. But this whole meditation is in a book called In Conversation with God. Opus Dei publishes the book. I read these meditations, and it motivates me to love Jesus more, and that was my motivation in having it with you. Let's bring Bishop Sheen into the room before the break. Full Sheen ahead. Bishop Sheen says this, everybody. The cross is not something that has happened. The crucifixion is something that is happening. It can be found in any place, at any hour, in the human, are you ready, race, for it is the epic struggle of the forces of good and evil. Well, without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. When we come back, my good friend, Gary Machuda, who is the hands-on apologetics show person, and you're going to find out some things about Gary, and I'm going to tell you some things about apologetics that I had with Carl Keating, who was just Gary's guest in the hour before our show. And it's going to be a fascinating conversation with Gary Machuda, and I'm looking forward to doing this. This is going to be fun. You're going to find out things about Gary that you've never had known before. And I have to tell you, this is a man who loves Jesus and his bride, the church, Our Lady. And he is like a cradle Catholic like myself. But wait till you hear how he got involved in evangelization with apologetics. Fascinating story. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse will be out until Monday. But I would say we're too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, I'd be a billionaire. Don't forget to look at our website. We've got a women's conference filling up fast right now, September 7th. Father Murr's coming down from San Francisco. My wife will be there, Barbara Nicolosi, and many others. It's going to be a great conference. Put it on your calendar, the 7th of September. When we come back, Gary Machuda will be my guest here on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. I've heard that. Yep.
Hebrews 11:3 yep. says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Bishop David O'Connell, and you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show.
To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse will be back on Monday. I like to say that both Jesse and I, we're too inspired to be tired, man. We're too protected to be dejected. and too renewed to be subdued. People say, where do you get your energy? I get it from the Holy Eucharist, okay? Folks, Jesus Christ and the Holy Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life, and I wish and pray more Catholics understood the real presence, as I mentioned last week. Hey, my guest is Gary Machuda. He's the radio host of Hands On Apologetics. Gary, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show, brother.
It's great to be with you.
Oh, man, it sounds like you're right in my studio, folks. He's in Michigan, and I love having this connection so clear. Gary, before I ask you some questions about apologetics and how you got started, I want to set the stage. I was listening to your show with our good friend Carl Keating, and I got to tell you, as a young 20-something-year-old, I met Carl back in the early 80s because I had maybe 5 years of putting St. Joseph Communications going with Bishop Sheen's Life Is Worth Living. And, you know, we were dealing with some apologetics. I don't know if you remember Jimmy Swaggart, but this was way, way back. And Father Ken Roberts wrote a book called Father Ken Roberts Answers Jimmy Swaggart. And I printed 75,000 copies of that book in 1983 and put it into English and Spanish. And, you know, Carl liked the idea because we met, you know, when Carl was an attorney, Catholic Answers was just starting. And I gave him my mailing list at St. Joe, and we collaborated early in the years getting apologetics things going. And I want to tell one story, and then that's going to share the importance of what you do. I don't know if you've heard of Calvary Chapel, anybody out here in the West, but Raul Reese, they started this Calvary Chapel out here in West Covina, and about 65% of their parishioners were ex-Catholics. And one day in 1984, they put leaflets on my car at my local parish at St. Christopher's and everybody's car, inviting us to come to Calvary Chapel to find out the real gospel, because they're going to have a former Catholic priest tell it all about why he's no longer Catholic, and we need to let you know you shouldn't be Catholic. So, you know, I'm 23 years old, Gary, and I'm thinking, oh, bring it on, man. This is going to be fun. So I said, well, let's get our books out. We had about 1,200 copies of the book to give away. How are we going to do it? We're going to stand on the easement outside the grocery store, church converted store, and hand out the books and say, tonight's topic is on Catholicism. Here's your book. Well, a bunch of young guys, they're thinking they're with Calvary Chapel. So we go in, hand out all the books, and then we get in, and now this former Catholic priest is telling how bad the Catholic Church is. And when it's time for Q&A questions, I raise my hand, but, you know, nobody picked me. And one of my friends got his hand picked, and he says, well, actually, my friend Terry Barber from St. Joseph Radio has a question. So I stand up, and I said, Father, you know, all night long you've given examples of what the Catholic Church teaches, and that's not really what the Catechism teaches. And I gave examples to speed it up. And then I said, in my umpire voice, would anybody go to a deserter to find out about the army? Then don't go to this man to find out about the Catholic Church. I have Bishop Sheen cassette tapes for anyone who wants to know what the Catholic Church teaches. Well, the lights start flickering off and on, and four guys, Gary, you're 6'8". I'm 5'4". Four guys picked me up and tossed me out of the church.
Wow.
My friend got down on his knees with his rosary, started praying his rosary for me, interceding for me. I bounced well. I fell out. You know, I'm outside the church, and people are. And that was it. They shut the night off. So about 300 or 400 people stayed in the parking lot to pick up cassette tapes of Bishop Sheen. I answered a lot of questions on apologetics. Many people said to me, "Well, I just didn't know." Well, that was what my heart is about, Gary. And Carl Keating is a good example of that. So many Catholics didn't know their faith. And I know you talked about radio replies. I put radio replies on cassette tape, all three volumes. Why? Because some people don't read. They're tapeworms. Some book are bookworms. The tapeworms wanted the cassettes. So why do I say all this? Because Gary Machuda, you came a few years later into the scene on apologetics, and I want to expose you to the Terry and Jesse Show, because I want people to start listening to Hands On Apologetics every day, because they're going to learn so much. The people you get to come, like Carl Keating and others, are first-class apologists, and so you're getting the very best. But Gary, let me ask you this before we get into apologetics. Tell us You know, you're a cradle Catholic. Tell us about your upbringing, because I think you've never done that, as far as I know. Tell us a little bit about your own life and your own walk into knowing and wanting to, you know, love Jesus and the church and study apologetics. Give us a summary of what happened in your life.
Yeah, I was born at a good Catholic home,
yep.
Cradle Catholic.
Okay.
In fact, my mom always said, if you want to have friends, don't talk about politics or religion.
That's right.
So I guess I'm a rebel. Mm. I Cradle Catholic, okay. And during the 80s, you know, early 80s, a lot of my friends left the Catholic Church because of Protestant fundamentalism. And, and you know what, Terry?
Tell me.
I got to give you some props, because it was St. Joseph Communications and Catholic Answers. Ladies and gentlemen, they're the ones that started this whole Catholic apologetics movement. And trust me, it was funny, Terry, you mentioned Radio Replies. I bought that set. I have it over here. In fact, I have probably most of what you reproduced.
You're amazing.
So, I mean, no, you're amazing because of all your work. I mean, it's fed me, and I know it's fed thousands and thousands of Catholics. But it wasn't really till my first full-time job when I met a fundamentalist Baptist friend. And she started challenging me on the faith.
Yep.
And we really couldn't talk because she thought I had horns on my head and going to hell. And I didn't really know much about my faith really to defend it anyway.
Okay.
So we started studying, of all things, spiritual warfare, because that was something we had in common.
Okay.
And so I would go to quote-unquote Christian bookstores, you know, mm-hmm. Protestant bookstores, and buy books on spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is funny because Jesus 911, you know,
that's
they
right.
touch on this all the time.
Of course.
Well, you keep finding these weird left-handed compliments to Catholicism.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like a bona fide witch can tell a consecrated host
right.
amongst like 99 that aren't. And, you know, or Satanism has a black mass. They don't have a black Bible study.
Right.
Know? So the enemy knows, right?
Amen,
so,
brother.
So I'm you know, doing this. And then, as you mentioned, I'm really tall. And my friend said, we have a basketball league at our Baptist church.
Yeah.
Would you like to join? I said, sure. She said, well, you have to go to one of our services. So I went to a Baptist church. And it was very impressive. Lots of Bibles, you know, mm-hmm. preaching, things like
good.
That. All of it's scripture. Mm-hmm. And so I said to her, I said, you know, I went to your church. How about you coming to a mass? and she did,
good
surprisingly.
For good for her.
Yeah, and that's a miracle in and of itself
yeah.
because she was so anti-Catholic that her brother said that he'd rather that she went to a witch's coven than to step foot in a Catholic church. That's where
amazing.
She was. So I took her to church, and she thought it was nice. And I said, you know, what do you think about it? And she said, well, you know, it's all good. And then she asked me a question, Terry. She said,
tell me.
Where do Catholics hear the word of God and apply it in their life?
Mm, great question.
And I kind of had one of those altar boy moments
yeah.
where, you know, suddenly I'm back being an altar boy and I'm thinking, well, where's the answer? Okay, well, I said, well, we hear the gospel read every Sunday, you know, three readings.
Sure.
And the priest tells us in this homily how to apply it.
Right.
And she kind of rolled her eyes. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to start listening. I'm going to show her, you know, how it works in Catholicism. So I took myself off autopilot at Mass, and I started paying attention to the readings. And next week, you know, Monday I would go to work, and I'd say, Susan, you know, what was your pastor preaching on? And the funny thing is, most of the time she couldn't remember. So I said, well, you know, our homily was about this.
Yes.
And what happened, Terry, was as weeks went on, it was interesting because I wanted to try to apply it in our
yeah.
life. And it seemed like whenever there was a reading that Sunday, something would come up in one of our lives where it would be the perfect application of that reading. You know, it got to the point where this fundamentalist anti-Catholic Baptist started asking me, what's the reading last Sunday? Because it was almost like reading the horoscope to find out what's going to happen that week. And so anyway, one day I was sitting at my desk and I was just thinking about the stuff I was reading and about how Satanists are like a mirror image of Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, there's one thing that connects these two worlds, and that's the Eucharist. You know, everything we do as Catholics is surrounded by to the Eucharist. And everything, the other side, is to the desecration of the Eucharist. And Terry, all of a sudden, I wasn't in my cubicle. I had what I think is like an ecstatic state in which
wow.
I was in the presence of God, and like everything that I ever learned mm-hmm. kind of converged into this one point. And I don't know how long it lasted. Just think of it. I was in a cubicle amongst like dozens of cubicles in this insurance company. Mm-hmm. And I was just filled with the love of God. And I came out of it and my hands were shaking. My legs were shaking. Wow. I was crying uncontrollably.
Awesome.
And two thoughts came to my head. The first one was Jesus is really present in the Eucharist, like in a concrete form. He, mm-hmm. you know, it's more real there than you and I, you know.
Amen.
And all this time I kind of thought of it in a fog sense, but, you know, that came through. And then the other thought was, what was the reading last Sunday? And the reading last Sunday was Doubting Thomas. And so from that moment on, I thought, you know what, I'm going to forget about going to these Christian bookstores. I'm going to go to the real deal. I'm going to go to Catholic bookstores. I want to get to know everything I can about the Catholic faith because this is real.
Wow.
So we went downtown. Susan went with me.
You know, oh, my gosh.
I bought tons of books. I maxed out my Discover card.
Oh,
and we're leaving. I was checking out, and Susan said, hey, what about this one book? And it was Catholicism and Fundamentalism by Carl Keating.
Yep.
Now, she misread it. She thought it was a book, you know, explaining why fundamentalism is true and why Catholicism's wrong.
Sure.
So I said, yeah, throw it on the pile. I'm going broke anyway. And when I read through, I was going through the books like crazy, and I read that book, and it's like, that's what I want to do. I want to become an apologist.
Awesome.
And that's through them. Then I learned about St. Joseph Communications, and then I went broke a second time buying all the tapes from you. And I started my own ministry called Thy Faith, Inc. And
excellent.
In fact, you know, and this is kudos to you because when we started, we wanted to duplicate tapes.
Yep.
And, you know, I contacted you and you're like, hey, I'll sell it to you wholesale.
Sure.
So it's like, wow, you know, a friend in the field to help us out. And it's been fun ever since.
Gary, we're going to take a quick break, but I'm so happy that we haven't had a chance to talk to you about your beginnings in apologetics. And I call it almost like an epiphany you had there where the Lord really exposed something very profound to you, which is the Holy Eucharist. And I want to ask you some questions regarding today. How are you helping individuals like Catholics today who might, I mean, that the Pew Research report came out saying only like 50% of the Catholics even acknowledge that Jesus is present in the Eucharist. How can apologetics help individual Catholics, especially the ones that are leaving by the age 23, only, you know, 23% of them are still Catholic. How can we help with apologetics to keep people to fall deeper in love with Jesus and his bride, the church? And we're going to ask Gary Machuda those questions and much more on the Terry and Jesse Show. Hey, are you having fun? I am. Gary is too. We'll be right back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show. This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We'll be right back.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. As I mentioned, Jess will be back on Monday. I just wanted to have Gary Machuda tell his story of how he got involved in apostolic work. I have to tell you, after 40 years, Gary Machuda, I mean, there's been so many ministries that I've worked with over the years. More the merrier, because the church needs good, solid teachings of lay people going out and evangelizing. And Gary, I'm going to put you on the hot seat at 6'7" and I'm 5'4". I like to joke about that, folks. Oh, somebody sent me a note, says, hey, where'd you get that spiritual warfare shirt? Well, we have them every year. I think our next one is January 11th. And a friend of mine, Tracy Tees out of Phoenix, prints them for us. So if you want to get that spiritual warfare shirt, I love wearing it every week. I wear it because it gets me into conversations with people at the bank or with the store or where I'm eating. And I love it. Hey, Gary, the question I came up with before the break was about the Holy Eucharist. I call it, you know, we call it, church calls it the source and summit of the Christian life. And so many Catholics today, in my survey of 40 years, I've always asked people what they believe about the Eucharist. And it's really sad that many Catholics, for some reason, just don't understand the real presence. And with apologetics, this is what, you know, in defense of the faith, which can really, I think, help people understand the faith. So when someone asks you about the Holy Eucharist, at where do you go with them? How do you share the real presence with individual people?
Well, you know, it all depends on who it is. You know, if what their background. If it's a Bible-believing Protestant, I go to Scripture.
Do you?
If it's a cradle Catholic, you know.
Now let's say a cradle Catholic, because that's most of the people we talk to. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, there's lots of ways. First, you know, I share my testimony. Yeah,
good.
That's one thing.
Important.
That everybody has their own story.
You
could always talk about how, you know, the Eucharist has changed your life and that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist.
Amen.
Eucharistic miracles are really cool. I know, Terry, when we went out to lunch, staring. You could always share stories. I mean, it's great to work it in about, you know, Eucharistic miracles, stories, things like that. People love that. And, you know, it gets them thinking. So when they leave, it's, wow, you know, I didn't know about these miracles. That's generally where I go. Bottom line, ultimately, is what I call radiation therapy.
I love it.
It's getting them in front of the Eucharist
itself. I love it.
You can't walk away and not be changed. And by the way, that friend of mine, that fundamentalist friend that went to church, 10 years later, she became Catholic.
You got to be kidding. That is awesome.
And I credit it to her going to that one Mass.
Oh, yeah.
You know, is that the presence of Christ will change people.
Gary, you just said it. Bring them to Jesus. In my book, How to Share Your Faith with Anyone, I had a friend of mine that told me a story in the L.A. diocese, and many dioceses have these ecumenical prayer groups where Protestants and Catholics come to pray for the country, and it's a good thing. And at this particular one, when my friend was praying, she met a lady from the Baptist church, and at lunch, when everything was, we're just finishing the praying, she said, excuse me, but before lunch, I'm going to go visit Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Well, the Baptist lady said, you're going to visit Jesus where? And what did my friend do? Come with me. I'll show you.
Beautiful.
She brought the Baptist woman before our Eucharistic King, that Gary just said, and saw 6 or 7 people in this chapel kneeling down praying before the demonstrants. And she explained everything to the woman quietly. And showed her into scriptures why we do this. And the lady didn't want to leave. She stayed there for about 20 minutes.
Wow.
And then they got up and had lunch. And then that brought in more questions. Well, Gary, within a year, she was in the RCIA program. and she became a Catholic because of the teachings of the Catholic Church on the Eucharist. Because if the Eucharist is real, what else do I have in the Catholic Church? And that really got her. So your story about bringing people to Jesus, that's what I try to do all the time, even with homeless people. Before I give them money, I will go, especially because they're at church, say, let's go before Jesus in the Eucharist. And then we'll pray. And then I say, let's thank Jesus, not me, for giving you the money. I want to hear you thank God and ask God for the graces to be a good person and to follow his teachings. Amen. And then I give them the money. So it's just a suggestion because there are actual graces that flow from Eucharistic adoration.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just like Nathaniel.
There you go.
They told Nathaniel that we found the Lord, you know, and he says, what good could come out of Nazareth? They say, hey, come and see. You know, they didn't argue with him.
Right.
They invited him to meet Jesus, and he was converted.
Yeah, Gary, on apologetics, one other huge element, Dr. Scott Hahn helped me really in my apologetics on the teachings of the Pope and the establishment of the authority of Peter and the keys. That is such a huge topic. I'd like to ask you, because you're the expert. I don't consider myself an expert in anything except helping people fall in love with Jesus and his bride, the church. But when it comes to apologetics, if you have a non-Catholic who loves the Lord, how do you tactfully share Peter and the keys and the authority of the church? That's a big topic, but what do you say?
Yeah, that's first you need to listen. You know, the first step is diagnosis.
Amen.
You know, a doctor doesn't start prescribing things as soon as you walk in the office. You got to find out where the problem lies. So
Amen.
If they, you know, you could ask them, do you have any trouble with church authority? You know, Al Cresta, for example.
Oh, he's a great man.
He was a Protestant pastor, and he came face to face with a problem because there was a deacon in his church that was an adulterous affair.
Oh, no.
And he pulled him from ministry, and the guy just went down the street to another church and became a deacon there. And so Els thought, you know, well, how can you apply Matthew 18:18? You know, bring them to a church, and if they don't listen to the church, treat them as a heathen or a tax collector. How do you apply that? You know, so if you know, where is the ultimate authority? And they'll say Scripture, but whose interpretation of Scripture? You know,
right.
And then you could always go to Scripture. Matthew 16:18 is the classic example of where Jesus makes Peter the rock upon which he'll build his church, and he gives them the keys of the kingdom. And Terry, I know you're setting me up.
I am.
Because Scott Hahn, did, for me, was the first to blow open this insight.
Me too, brother.
About the keys of the kingdom being a sign of the office of prime minister.
You got it.
See that
Isaiah blew me
22:22.
Yep.
Yeah, and that so, you know, it's about this wicked prime minister named Shebna in Isaiah 22.
Sure.
Who's thrown out of office, and Eliakim takes his place, and he's given a robe, and he's made, or he's given the key of the kingdom of David.
Yeah.
And so it's a sign of succession. So Jesus is the king, and he makes Simon Peter the prime minister of his kingdom.
Awesome.
And just like you see in Isaiah 22, there's succession. When Shebna's out, another person takes his office. When Peter dies, another person takes his office. And boy, if you can get a non-Catholic to see that, that's just tons of insight.
You know, Gary, what you just did, I've tried to do that for years because of what Scott Hahn has taught me. And so many of my Protestant brothers and sisters look at me and go, I never saw that before.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Wow, that made me really think about that. And I always just say, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And Gary, what you just said, listening to people is critical. And I want to just throw one more thought. You talked about testimonies. I have a chapter in my book, Teaching Catholics How to Give Their Testimony.
Yeah.
And it's so important when we're sharing the faith. Yeah, it's important to have apologetics. Yes, it's so important. But your personal witness on how Jesus Christ came into your life, there's nothing finer than that. What are your thoughts about personal testimonies? Do you agree that that's an important element of evangelization?
Oh, that's incredibly important. See, the thing with apologetics, somebody can say, hey, you're wrong.
Yeah.
I don't agree with it.
That's
not what the passage says. But no one can say, hey, you're wrong about how Jesus has transformed your life.
That's right.
You can't. It's totally authentic.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, you know, in the earlier days of apologetics, back in the, you know, early 90s, a lot of priests weren't open to apologetics. You know, they thought this was like pre-Vatican II stuff. So what I used to do is I would sneak apologetics in as my personal testimony.
Good
because
job.
What can they say? Yeah. You know, it's this is my experience. This is, you know, and so they could say, somebody could say you're wrong with apologetics. But when it comes to testimony, you know, you can't say it's wrong. And you're right. That is really the core of evangelism. It's, you know, what Jesus has done. He's alive and well, and he's working in the world. And look what he's done with my life and your life, Terry.
I'll give you an example of a story of how that works. At the Religious Ed Congress in Los Angeles, California, 40,000 Catholics come every year. And there's anti-Catholics outside the convention hall saying that Catholics are going to hell. They're fundamentalists, and they want to argue. And unfortunately, many Catholics will just argue over doctrine with them and say, you're wrong and we're right. And it's really an ugly scene. Well, what I did when we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you what happened at that event that actually transformed it all through the grace of God because of what Gary just said, your testimony.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we'll tell that story. I want to give a plug. Jesse Romero will be back on Monday, but I want to also plug, I'm leaving Friday for the Wichita Family Conference. 5,000 people registered. Steve Ray will be there. Tim Staples, I'll be there. Love to have you come. Just go to MidwestCatholicFamilyConference.com, and you can still register for that event. If you can't make it, just know that the first weekend of August, we do this event every year. This is our 20th year. What? I can't believe it. We started 20 years ago. I think I had some hair on my head when we started. Not now. But I want to encourage you to come to these conferences and also go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio and take a look at upcoming events because we've got the spiritual warfare, we got an evangelization, and my good friend Father Joseph Fessio from Ignatius Press and two other liturgy experts from adoramus.org, they're coming to explain the Easter Triduum. Wow, that Easter Triduum that we go to every year? Yes. They're going to lay it all out biblically and liturgically, and I guarantee you, it'll make your liturgies come alive when you come to this conference. Just go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. They're all there. And again, I want to thank those monthly donors. This month's been really good. People have been stepping up to the plate in the slow summer months to help us, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. If you want to help us, go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151. When I come back, I'll finish the story. This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. My good friend, Gary Machuda, is on. He is the radio host of Hands On Apologetics, and he also has a great book called, are you ready? Catholic Bibles Are Bigger. Something like that. I think that I'm getting texts from people saying that book got me to understand the Bible in a way that I didn't have before. And Gary, you've written many books, but before I get to that, I just want to finish the story, what you said earlier about testimony and sharing it with our evangelical friends. These are people that were, just to summarize, they're at the Religious Ed Congress in Anaheim outside the conventions hall telling Catholics that you need to leave the church and to really fall in love with God and get rid of the church. And so there's arguments going on. So I said, well, no, that's not going to be my approach. So I'm walking there and I walk by and I say, excuse me, sir, can I ask you a question? Because this is one of the rules I use in my book. He who asks questions has control. Jesus did that all through the gospel. And the guy says, yeah, what is it? I said, can you tell me how you fell in love with Jesus Christ? What's he going to say? No. Of course he tells me his great story of how he was a drug addict, alcoholic, womanizer, and he came back to his faith, and he's a follower of Jesus. And I said, fantastic. It took 15 minutes for him to tell me the story. It was great. So then I asked him another question. I said, can I tell you how I fell in love with Jesus Christ? What's he going to say? No. Of course, I earned it. I heard him. Now, I gave him my story about how the Eucharist touched my soul, the real presence, John 6. I memorized that verse. I gave it to him. Scripture, man, I was just fired up. He's like, wow. Wow. I said, yeah, brother, we got something in common. We both love Jesus. Can I ask you one more question? He says, yeah, what is it, man? You're a nice guy. Can we pray together? And then I'll leave it because I want to give more time to Gary. But the bottom line is, after that whole conversation, we hugged each other. We weren't arguing or, you know, throwing accusations at each other. Now, what is that about? It's because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I cared enough to ask him about his relationship with Jesus Christ, and he did likewise. Gary, I want to ask you, because I want people to come to your show every day, Hands On Apologetics, to really learn lots of teachings about Christ and his church, because these are days that right now, if Catholics are low-information Catholics, they won't survive.
Yeah,
they're not going to survive. Gary, statistically, by the time a young man, a young woman is 23 years old, 83% of them, this is from Sophia Press publication, 83% will not be practicing the faith.
Yeah.
So that's a concern you and I have had for our, you know, all of our ministry. Tell me a little bit about what you think is important to reach out to what I would consider low-information Catholics or non-active Catholics, because there's millions of them out there. What do you think we need to do to reach out to them?
Yeah, well, you know, it's personal testimony, number one. They need to be evangelized, you know. Mm-hmm. They also need to be catechized, and they need to learn that there are answers to what we believe as Catholics.
Amen.
You know, when you don't give answers, when you don't defend the faith, people just assume there must not be any answers, right? And unfortunately, a lot of people walk away from the faith. You know, Terry, in the poster behind me is the old poster we had for my ministry.
Okay.
It says, would you send your child into the business world with only an eighth grade education?
No.
No, but millions of Catholics send their children out into the world with just an eighth grade appreciation of their faith.
Well said.
And then, you know, what happens is they run into people, they get hit with objections, and before you know it, I mean, no one expects a kid to succeed in a business world with that level of appreciation. Yet, for some reason, you know, Catholics, for a long time, you know, growing up, it's like you go to school, you get confirmed, and then you're set for life. But no, you gotta appreciate the faith as an adult. You can't just assume what you learned back in, you know, seventh or eighth grade or whatever, that they gave you, you know, the sum and substance of the faith. You know, they told us everything. No, you got to grow up. You got reason. And, you know, and Terry, I know your experience, too, is that a lot of Catholics that got hammered by Protestant fundamentalists and other groups, once they learned the answers about Catholicism, they come back and they're the best Catholics. They're on fire and they know their stuff. So in a way, it's you know, apologetics is good for bringing back, you know, waking up those who, you know, kind of put their faith into the toy box of their childhood. But it's also to bring Catholics that have left the church back, because they make the best evangelist.
Absolutely. Gary, I've been a big promoter of Catholics owning the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
Yes, absolutely.
And on Fridays, I've been making it a point of taking a paragraph or two and going through it with our listeners, because I'm convinced that if we opened up that catechism anywhere, a paragraph or two, like almost like the Bible, you're going to get a gem that's going to help you understand better your Catholic faith. And I would agree with you, Gary, that we need to teach our people, not just young people, everyone, the reasons for their faith, reasons for their hope, as the Bible says. And you do that on your show, Hands-On Apologetics. Just a little brief plug. Give us some of the kinds names of people that you're interviewing. I know you had Carl Keating on. You have had Ken Hensley. Give us some other names that you would bring in that are experts in their fields.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you know, Tim Staples, we had him on. We had you, which should be actually
that's
the top
on the bottom
of the list. you know, all the cutting edge guys, Carlo Brassard, Trent Horn.
Oh, man, tremendous.
John Martinoni.
Oh, he's a great
blue collar apologist. You know, some of the best. And also, Terry, you know, I'm taking a page from you. When I started in ministry, I really appreciated when you helped out, you know, and helped us get sorted out with, you know, duplicating tapes and stuff like that. So also on my show, not only do I have like the cutting edge, the people that you would see normally, but I also try to find those who are just starting out, you know, that are, that have good stuff, good information that people wouldn't know about. Like my friend Bobby Hesley.
Oh, I like Bobby. I've heard
Paul Thomas. Oh, yeah. You know, I could go on and on, but I want to introduce people to them because they need to, you know, they need exposure as well. And that's the beautiful thing about you, Terry, is that it. A lot, there are some people out there that think that, you know, they want all the toys for themselves, as if they want to corner the market on Jesus.
No,
but you are like, you know, to help everybody, because we're all. You know, I know you and I, the reason why we get up every morning is to help people know and love Jesus more. And we want to help people out there that to do that.
And Gary, that's why I like to direct people to good websites like your own. And how can people get, like you've written several books, okay? You're an author. Tell us in a summary in the last few minutes some of the names of the books and how they can get those books. Because every book you've written is very thorough. So can you share with some of the titles and kind of just give a brief description of why you wrote these books?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, well there's Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger. Yeah. You can get that through Catholic Answers Press. Mm-hmm. That's basically why there's seven books in the Old Testament that Catholic and Orthodox Bibles have that Protestants don't. And I give you the whole history behind that. Hostile Witnesses by that's also by the same publisher, Catholic Answers Press. I take the enemies of the church and I show how inadvertently they give these left-handed compliments, you know, to the truths of Catholicism. Mm-hmm. Let's see, I have a book, How to Wolfproof Your Kids, which is a kind of manual where I give case scenarios, where real life scenarios where I help people come back to the church, help the people, you know, their children. I give skill sets they need to know.
Excellent.
Things like that. Making Sense of Mary is another book I wrote, which is
a
really different take on Mary. It's different than I think any other book out there. It's very anchored in the early church fathers and scripture. And there's several others.
What's the website just for our listener? How can they get those?
I'm sure you can go to Catholic.com.
Yeah.
Catholic.com or GaryMachuda.com.
Yeah. Good.
You could get there.
Gary, just a quick note. I I don't know if you remember this basic apologetics book that we put out years and years ago.
Yeah.
And it's been such a gem for people by just answering questions on basic teachings. But you mentioned Our Lady. And I have wrote a book on stories of people coming to the church through the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Yes.
That's what I'm giving my talk Saturday on the weekend on Our Lady. And it's all through personal testimonies. But can you tell us your own love for Mary? What brought you to really understand Mary as your mother? And just share that in the last couple of minutes, your love for the Blessed Mother.
Yeah, boy, you know, you can't love Jesus without loving Mary.
Amen!
I mean, it's quite, because if there's no Mary, there's no Jesus,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
As Catholic, I had really good parents, and my mother had a very deep devotion to our Lady of Perpetual Help.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just part of the air you breathe.
Yeah.
And once I got into apologetics, then I started diving into early church fathers and scripture. And I realized something, I think this was pivotal in my insight, is when we become Christians, we're radically united to Christ in such a way that when Jesus' mother becomes our mother.
Yep.
You know, and when the Blessed Virgin Mary looks upon us, she sees Jesus.
Amen.
And I mean, and boy, you can't get a more intimate love of that than, Mary's love for Jesus, both head and body, you know, both Christ the head and his church. And that's actually what's behind the Our Lady of Perpetual Help.
Amen.
That idea. So, I mean, just that insight alone, Terry.
I love it. Well, you know,
the doors off.
Gary, I just wrote a book called No Mary, No Jesus, and it's K-N-O-W, okay?
Good.
And people can get it on our website at the virginmostpowerfulradio.org, but it's story after story. I even have Fulton Sheen in this book. I have Tim Staples. I have Jesse Romero. I have Matthew Arnold's story. I have so many stories. I have a lady, believe it or not, who they did an attempted rape, and she started praying the Hail Mary, and the guy jumped off her and ran away like there was angels after him or something. And so she tells her story, being shot and praying to Our Lady, and how Our Lady interceded her twice in her own life. So if you want to get a copy of that book, call 877-526-2151. Gary Machuda has been our guest. Hey, Gary, we end our show by asking you this question, brother. See if you know the answer. Gary, what state should you be living in, brother?
You should live in a state of grace.
He got it.
Yeah, right.
And what state should
you be? I watched the program.
Yeah, I know. I'm joking. And what state shouldn't you be living in, brother?
You shouldn't be living in a state of mortal sin or California.
There you go. Yeah, it's Sodom and Gomorrah here, but someone's got to proclaim the truths of the gospel, and that's here at Virgin Most Powerful. Gary Machuda, he is the radio host of Hands On Apologetics. I want to thank you for taking your extra hour here to be with us. It was a lot of fun, and I hope and pray people will tune into your show tomorrow. Who's your guest tomorrow again, Matt? Gary?
We're going to John Mark Grody is going to jump in the show.
Oh, Marcus Grody's son. He's great. I've heard him. Awesome. Hey, we're too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. Gary Machuda has been our guest. Gary, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
You got it. God bless. And full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh, my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.